I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to episode 73 of Better Podcasting. On today's episode, we have an interview with Matthew Passy of Pod to Pod.
We've also got an update about our Rode Procaster test that we did last week and why we're doing it again.
In our download, we have an update of an industry academic collaboration that we discussed last year.
And finally, in our Better Pod Back, we're going to take your listener feedback, including from one astute viewer who had an observation. Let's start the show now.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew, and Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome to the latest episode of Better Podcasting. I'm Stephen John Drew, and of course, I've got my co-host, Stargate Pioneer.
It's another great week in Better Podcasting land, and we've had a quite exciting week, and we'll have a lot to talk about. So, Stephen, let's just get down into it.
All right. So, if you didn't know the thing about SP and I, it's that we're part of a place called the Gunna Geek Network. And the reason we're on that is because we do other shows other than just this as well. And we have a variety of different shows. And one of the shows that SP and I do is called the official GunnaGeek.com show. Now, you might be aware of the fact that Stargate Pioneer, one of the shows that he does is called The Starling Tribune. And that is a show that covers the CW television show Arrow. Well, on the CW, there is a bunch of other tie-in shows, including one that's called The Flash and one that's called Supergirl. Now, those two shows have leads in them that are former Glee alumni. That's right. Some superheroes that you see on TV are former Glee alumni. So it was a matter of time, of course, until the CW would get together and put together a musical crossover. And they did that last week. And SP convinced me that I should absolutely cover that on the official GunnaGeek.com show, because let's be honest, Steven's a polarizing guy and he's going to have something to say about a musical superhero show. So we talked about this the last week in the official GunnaGeek.com show. And while you might be thinking that I'm just sitting here plugging it, I want to take a moment here to share it to you as fellow podcasters, fellow hobby podcasters, how you can have fun in a situation that you find not necessarily treating you the way that you want to be treated. And what I mean by that is, spoiler alert, I left still not a big fan of the idea, but I still had a lot of fun with it. And I encourage you to go over and watch the latest episode of the official GunnaGeek.com show titled Gunna Gleek. That was, I think, SP or Chris's idea. I think it was SP's idea. And you can check that out at GunnaGleek.com. That's right, SP set that up. So GunnaGleek.com, and see the latest edition there, because it was, let me give you a tease, it was a musical crossover event. And if you know anything about me, I like to randomly break into song occasionally. So go watch that and you can see how you can have fun in a situation that isn't necessarily your forte.
I was blown away by the first 5 minutes or so. I didn't actually have a stopwatch out there. I've watched it a couple of times and it is hilarious. So go watch it. That, once again, is GunnaGleek.com.
All right. So the next thing that we want to quickly touch on is following up to last week. What you may have heard us announce, or maybe you didn't get that far, is that last week we debuted the Podcast Forum. That's right. www.thepodcastforum.com. We announced it on here, and we're hoping that this will be a community that can grow and really offer sort of, I would like to call it next level sorting of different podcast related topics, but it's a forum, and forums of technology that's been around for a while. But we think it's a great, podcasting is a great fit for the forum model to build a community. So please check that out. That's thepodcastforum.com. And SP, I know you've been watching this like a hawk as well. And we've got some people already recorded or already registered and some communications going over there, right?
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of the audience from Better Podcasting that has signed up for accounts there. We've had people in the podcast consulting business that has showed up there. We have people in the podcast professional service that have been there. And we even have international people. And I'm not talking about Canada. Who cares about Canada? I'm talking about true international, around the world people that have signed up for the podcast forum. So it's going to be an exciting place. We're hoping to keep it active and progressing forward. So if you have a question, if you have something to share, please sign up at thepodcastforum.com. It's a little bit like thefacebook.com, but not. So it's thepodcastforum.com.
And if you are watching the video side of things right now, you might be noticing that SP and I are using our Rode Procaster microphones again. Now, if you didn't check out last week's episode, we decided that we were going to do this because we both have ourselves some Rode Procasters and we wanted to see what they were like. And we got quite a bit of comments that I'll reach in and get a few of them later in the episode. But we have a bit of a confession to make, right, SP?
Well, I think you have a confession to make because, quite frankly, you messed up.
I did mess up. Now, last week when we did our test, it wasn't a fair apples to apples comparison. And like I said, we got way more feedback on the subject than I thought we were going to get. So what happened? The long story short is, as you know, I'm a hobbyist podcaster. I have kids, and sometimes those kids are just a little bit louder than I would like recording a podcast. And so what happened was, last week I had accidentally turned up the gain a little bit too far when I hooked up my Procaster. And not only that, but my living room is actually above where I record. And if you go back and you watch last week's episode, you'll see that my microphone was more so pointing up towards the ceiling. So where's it looking to pick up? My ceiling, where my kids are being loud. So to help mask it, I actually had to change some settings in post-production. There's a couple settings I made, but one of them was actually lessening the amount of compression I was using. So I don't think last week was a fair apples to apples comparison. So this week I have arranged circumstances. And so this will absolutely be the same settings that I usually have with our production. So this week here will be a good comparison to our previous episodes. If you were interested in the difference between the Rode Procaster, which we're using this week, and the Audio-Technica BP40, which I usually use, and the Electro Voice RE320 that SP usually uses. So there you go. I admitted my problem, all the group learning and all that stuff.
And by arrangements this week, he means a box of duct tape.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into our fun interview that we've got here. Let's go and talk to Matthew Passy. All right, so today we've got something very exciting. That's right, we have an interview that we've previously teased, and today we're going to make that happen. So let me turn it over to SP to introduce our guest this week.
We have a guest that has about 10 years of experience coming out of the radio world, but has a ton of podcast experience. And currently, he is the content director for Pod to Pod. That's podtopod.com. I'm introducing you to Mr. Matthew Passy. How you doing, Matthew?
I'm doing well. Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on. And those 10 years actually do include podcast experience. Even though it was radio, I introduced my first station to a podcast, helped them get their first one off the ground, which is still running to this day. And then in my other job, it was a sort of a split podcast radio job. So, I mean, I didn't think this was an industry or a career, but it turns out to be not such a bad one.
So in addition to being the content director for Pod to Pod, you are a podcast consultant as well, right?
That is correct. I consult and produce for private clients. coach in all sorts of different capacities, and produce my own podcast as well.
As you transitioned into being the podcast consultant, what kind of obstacles did you have to hurdle over to get to the consultant side of the business versus the production side of the business?
God, you know, the consulting side, weirdly enough, actually came first. People would, you know, ask me a lot of questions because they knew my prior experience. And then it started to, you know, dawn on me, hey, instead of just telling everybody what to do and offering insight and wisdom, maybe I could just do it for them. I know how to edit. I know how to produce. I can, you know, help them launch a show. So it sort of happened in reverse a little bit. But I'll tell you, the biggest challenge that happened when I went from working professionally to messing around with podcasts as a hobby, because I was doing that as well at the time, and then doing this as a job, as an entrepreneur, was really understanding how to run your own business. It is such a daunting task when you first get started. There are so many rules and regulations and little minor tasks that you have to start doing that you never thought were going to be there. And it can take away from the time you want to spend doing what you actually want to do, which for me was producing podcasts. So it's just something you really have to think about. I would suggest getting some help. I would also suggest, even though you are on your own and the freedom of being an entrepreneur is you can work whatever you want to, like, you have to create a schedule for yourself. Like, you need to say to yourself, like, this is work hours. These are administrative hours. This is time when I'm not working and I can be with my family. Like, you really have to sort of create your own structure.
Yeah. And then right. I guess trying to fit into that also making podcasts, if you continue to do that, that must be also a headache. Hey?
Oh yeah. Who has time for that? Right. It's a good thing we love doing it.
Right. And you're doing several podcasts, but the predominant one that I found you on was the Pod to Pod podcast that you've been doing for roughly about a year now. And it's kind of a unique community because there's a lot of experienced podcasters in Pod to Pod in the Slack group that are receiving your emails, but there's a lot of consultants there as well. And how do you interact with a field of podcast professionals, podcast consultants?
I guess I don't even think about it. You know, the truth is it's all curiosity. So when I first got into my consulting, I launched a similar podcast called Pod Up, where I just wanted to ask questions, you know, hey, how can I produce better podcasts? And I would reach out to people who I liked and were doing well and thought that was cool. And then when I started working with Joe Berman on Pod to Pod, we knew that we wanted to have a podcast to go along with this newsletter and to go along with this website. And what I was finding is, in reading all the news and seeing all the releases, in talking to all the different people that were joining our list, which, like you said, happened to be a lot of professionals and industry experts and insiders like the, you know, Todd Cochran's and Dave Jackson and Rob Greenlee's of the world, I was finding that I just wanted to talk to them. I just wanted to ask them questions and find out what they're doing, what's new, what's exciting. And then I would just get led into all these other places that I never even knew about. Like, you know, talking to a great one was like Steph Garrett of the PodDB, the IMDB of podcasting, which is a really cool feature, or meeting with the, oh man, I'm going to feel bad of all the Pod to Pod folks who are listening. I can't come up with any names, but even today, like, I was chatting with Baird Hall of Wave. You know, it was just somebody would say, hey, we've got this new thing. Can you, you know, share the story on Pod to Pod? And we'd be like, yeah, we're going to share the story, but let's talk about this. This looks awesome. As a podcaster, as just someone who naturally wants to see all this cool technology, like, tell me, I want to know. Like, it's pure passion play.
So with Pod to Pod, there's a few different elements. You've got the podcast, you've got the Slack community, you've got the newsletter.
Correct.
Are you the one that's primarily behind the newsletter itself?
So the newsletter was actually started by our founder, Joe Berman. He started this thing 2, maybe 3 years ago now. When I started Pod Up, I caught wind of the newsletter and I interviewed him. I was like, hey, this is cool. You have a newsletter. Let's talk about it. Had a great chat. Got to know Joe, loved it. And at the end of the call, I'm talking to him, like, why don't you have a website? He's like, you know, I don't know how to build it. And honestly, I don't have time. I'm like, all right, I get it. You know, I don't know how to build websites at the time either. So, you know, 6-8 months goes by and Joe revamps the newsletter, sends out a survey. I see it. I fill out the survey. Immediately, I'm like, Joe, great job. Love what you're doing. Keep up the great work. We jump on the phone again, have a good conversation. At the end, it's like, Joe, what's going on? Where's your website? Well, still don't know how to build one and still don't know how the time. And at that point, I was just angry. I was like, what do you mean? You know, it has to, I literally took that as a challenge. I taught myself WordPress.
Wow.
Spent a month creating sites and destroying them because they were terrible. finally came up with what, you know, a slightly different iteration of what you saw today. It's like, Joe, I think you need this website. And that's how our relationship was born. So, I mean, he's really the man behind the brand and behind the newsletter, which is still to date the best and, you know, most popular feature of Pod to Pod.
Sounds like Joe and I would get along great because I'm not the website guy. That belongs to Steven in the pair here. So Matthew, Steven, SP, Joe. That is the way that it should be, I guess, with Pod to Pod and Better Podcasting. But talking about Better Podcasting, we actually market to hobby podcasters, people that are just starting out. They're just trying to get their podcast better rather than recording straight to their phones, which is okay, but you got a competitive market out there so you can get a little bit better sound out there. So they're doing it mostly as a hobby. So I got to ask you, outside of podcasting, what's your favorite hobby?
Oh, God. You know, it's been a long time since I've had time for them. I do love playing golf, although I haven't been on the course in over a year. I enjoy snowboarding, something I haven't done in a few years. I do like sports, go to football games with my wife, love stand-up comedy. Used to go into New York, and there's a great place up in New Jersey, the Stress Factory, that we'll check out. Love going to concerts. I'm really more of a get-together with people. I don't really want to be alone, just, you know, tinkering away with something. I do that too often at work. So when it comes to enjoying myself, I want to be with others and hang out and chat and BS and things like that.
So you're in the New York area. You mentioned football. Are you a Jets fan or are you a Giants fan?
So I am a Jets fan. I like to call myself a sad Jets fan because if you know anything about the team, they tend to make us very, very sad. Very sad.
You and Mike Greenberg over at ESPN, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's just, they're so frustrating. It's like they don't want to win anymore. I'll root for the Giants too. Like, you know, this area, Giants fans we don't have a rivalry. Giants fans are mostly like, oh, you poor Jets fan. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me hold you for a minute.
Yeah, see, at least you have the option for the Giants. I'm a Vikings fan, or I was a Vikings fan. I can't claim them anymore, so it's just been so miserable all these years. 4 Super Bowls and haven't won a thing. And then Steven over there got, like, what, how many Patriots trophies do you have? 10?
And I'm the Canadian. Let's just specify that right now. And I was reserving saying anything to be nice to our guest here today, okay? So thanks, SB. But I have a question, though, tying into the hobby thing. Now, obviously, you do podcasting professionally, but you mentioned that you kind of started with doing it more in a hobbyist perspective when you started with the podcasting. Do you find that when you go to start a project now, do you ever, or if you're ever considered that, do you consider that you're going to do it starting with a professional intention, or is it sort of start as a hobbyist and then hopefully work it up towards more of a professional cast?
So I'll be honest, with Pod to Pod, it really was sort of a hobby thing. I mean, it was something we knew we wanted, but I never approached that particular podcast saying we're going to monetize this. We don't have commercials. We really don't have any plans to add commercials right now. Like, if anything else, Pod to Pod just sort of gave me a credential, an authority, the ability to say to people, I'd love to talk to you because there's this brand that people recognize. A new one that I'm working on is a little bit more work focused, so that one's tough to answer. But I have all these ideas for podcasts, and they all just come out of passion projects that I want to do. And there's one that I've been sitting on for months and months and months, and I bought the URL a long time ago. And that one really would also just be a pure hobby play, just because it's one of those things that I want to talk to other folks about. I love the art of conversation. I love good banter. I love a good, I don't want to say fight because that makes it sound aggressive and mean, but like, I love debating people. I love getting into a heated discussion and not just to prove that I'm right, but also to understand a different perspective, because you'll never learn more if you're only accepting your point of view about the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. And oh, argumentative out of the New York City area? No,
that never happens.
Absolutely not.
So you've had a toe in both worlds, you know, the hobbyist world and the professional commercial world. What are the main differences that you see in the two for podcasting today?
Honestly, the biggest difference I think to focus on is just what I said before, that administrative stuff, the, you know, sort of the taxes, if you have to worry about payroll, if you have to worry about advertising. Otherwise, the way you go about your podcast, be it a hobby or be it a professional, should be exactly the same. You really should be attacking it with passion, with consistency, with a smile on your face. I mean, if you're not going to do it with those three things in mind, why are you even bothering? You don't have to have a podcast. Like, it's not mandatory. It's not required reading. You know, you'll nobody's going to not give you a job or a credit card because you don't have a podcast. So if you're going to spend the time and effort to do this, do it with those three things in mind, no matter whether you're getting paid or not. It's just, what's the point?
I think that that's a great way to look at it. And, you know, I hear a lot of times people categorize it down to sort of hobby versus professional. And obviously we're doing that here, but I find that a lot of times when it's professional people talk about hobby podcasts, they look at it a little bit different. And so there's a lot of talk that I hear about people saying that, well, the hobbyists, it's going to be harder for them now because there's all these broadcasters coming into the world and they're going to be another professional podcaster. And I want to know, do you agree with that? Or do you think that there is going to be any change for the hobby podcaster?
I will say yes and no. So it's going to be hard for the hobby podcaster who wants to do something where the professionals are clearly already taking that, you know, filling that void. If, you know, you think your thing is talking sports, well, yeah, you're going to be competing with ESPN and Fox Sports and all these different brands that are already doing it, that already have the brand recognition, that have access to things that you're never going to have access to. So it's going to be tougher for you to get in there. But if you're doing a hobby project and you're doing something that's out of pure passion and it's something that, you know, nobody else is talking about because there is no professional brand doing it, then I don't think it's going to make much of a difference for you. And a lot of the best shows out there, the ones that, you know, we now think of as professional podcasters, they started out as hobbyists. They started out as something that person just really wanted to try and do. They had a creative idea. It was different. It was interesting. And it caught on and it started to work. And, you know, whether or not you are looking to do that, whether or not you get to a million listeners and still don't want to make money off it, that doesn't matter. But anybody who's going to come with a unique voice, a unique perspective, talk to a unique category and grouping of people has just as good of a chance as anybody else out there to be successful and have fun with it. If you want to be another John Lee Dumas and do another Entrepreneur on Fire type podcast, no, you don't have a shot. Just it doesn't make sense. If you want to be another person who, you know, wants to be a Pod Save America, again, no, you don't have a shot. Those guys have access to things that you're never going to have. But if you could find a completely different spin, a completely different look, a different way of doing it. I mean, the great thing about podcasting is there's no rules. There's no restrictions. There's no limits. Try something new and fun. Nobody is going to yell at you if you did something that wasn't in the rule book, because there is no rule book. Make up the rules. Have fun. Go crazy. I mean, that's what's going to shine.
Okay, so I got to ask this, because you mentioned you used to be in radio, and yes, we've talked recently on the show how there's statistics about how radio is fading and podcasting is increasing. Is there anything in your past experience as far as radio land goes, or, you know, sort of associated acts, so to speak, that actually is a good indication of the direction podcasting might go as far as the future with hobbyists? Like, I know for a long time you heard about people getting into pirate radio and things like that, and you're all hobbyists, right? So do you have anything that can help our listeners out?
I think the fact that so many stations and former radio personalities and any type of broadcasting personalities understand that this medium provides them complete and utter freedom to do what they want, I think is very, very telling of the direction that this medium is going into. You know, it doesn't matter if you are local news, national news, the local sports, doesn't matter if you're doing traffic and weather. I mean, I know a guy who has a great podcast out of the DC area talking about traffic, which, I mean, really, traffic and transportation has always been sort of the bread and butter of what makes the radio industry survive, for lack of a better term. But his podcast about the situation with their transportation needs has made his podcast really, really successful. And I think the fact is people are increasingly figuring out that they can find media on their terms, on their device, when they want it. And if you're delivering and filling the needs that they have, the sky's the limit. You know, advertising dollars are moving up, which means more people are paying, like they think more people are paying attention here, which obviously means more people are paying attention here.
Yeah, that's a good good point there. And I want to ask you, kind of tying again into the radio sort of things there. Obviously, you had a radio history, so presumably you were in some studio environment. And now for the video viewers, they can see it looks like you're at your home. Is that correct?
That is correct. In my new basement studio / office / gym / rec room / soon to be playroom.
So with all of that experience, if you could podcast out of any studio, what would be in that studio?
It does also depend what is your podcast about. Like, what do you need in front of you? If you're just going to be a solo podcaster, you don't need much in your studio. You know, you need to be able to talk into the microphone comfortably and maybe read your notes or, you know, look at the screen and, you know, be in charge of your monitors. If you're going to be in a big group setting, you know, you need a good table where everybody can sit comfortably and hear each other well. And, you know, that's not going to be too echoey. For me, though, with the kind of podcasting that I've always wanted to do, the kind of radio, I guess, or let's just call it for lack of a better term, broadcasting I've always wanted to do, whether it's digital or over the air, I'd always want a studio with at least 3 to 4 chairs so I have room to bring in guests. I'd love a couple to maybe 4 really good TVs over the wall so you can sort of be, you know, keep an eye on what's going on. Obviously a computer or a tablet in front of you so you can watch your social media. I mean, all the stuff around me, I don't know if I'm actually going to be able to broadcast at the same time. I'll be too distracted. maybe a couch, you know, just relax, kind of kick back, heads up, hold the microphone, just be like, yeah. Yeah, almost treat it like you're in therapy session once in a while.
Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, so a couch, 3 to 4 TVs, sounds like somebody's looking for a place to commiserate and watch the Jets lose every week.
Yeah, you know, that would probably make for a better podcast. The Jets Stink podcast. That would actually probably be the most entertaining radio I could put on, because I know I can make my wife laugh the entire game, no matter how depressing it is.
Although I suppose since we do a video show here, SB, we should start doing the couch thing, because that could be like our shtick, where we're just laying on the couch with a channel changer as we're podcasting. Maybe we should do it.
Yeah, we're two dads. We can make that work. Yeah, just dads on the couch. Right. But okay, so I got to ask you another question here. You just launched, pretty much from what I can tell, another podcast, the Podcast Bulletin. And in the first episode, you talk about something that really is like kind of like screeching on the nails on the chalkboard sort of thing. It just really bugs you. So out of everything with podcasting, what is your biggest pet peeve with podcasting today?
I guess it's got to be the spam. You know, I guess it's got to be that idea of, I understand it's important as a podcaster, you need to be promoting and you want more people to know about your audience, but shoving it in people's faces and forcing everyone, like, it's almost like the way comedians joke, like, if you're a vegan, you know, it's the first thing you tell everybody. Like, if the first thing you're telling everybody is you're a podcaster, like, you're not really growing an audience, you're just shouting. And somebody once told me that, you know, growing your audience, even in a digital world, you've got to do it one person at a time. You've got to build a relationship with your audience. And if the first thing you say to someone is, listen to my podcast, they're not interested. I'm not interested. Why should I listen to your podcast? What about you makes me want to listen to you? It's not just whether or not your show is good. It's not just whether or not the content is relatable to me, I've got to feel a relationship with you. There are plenty of really good podcasters, professionals who I've tried listening to their show. They're critically acclaimed. They're constantly in the, you know, the highest rankings of iTunes. I can't do it. I can't sit in my car and listen to this person because I don't think I'd be able to sit and listen to that person if I was sitting across the table from them. So podcasting and growing your audience has to be more than just listen. Here's my show. Download, subscribe, rate, review. Like, why? What's the value to me? And are you going to be my friend, not just my screeching voice?
I'll be your friend, Matthew.
Oh, well, you're already my friend. You're in the Slack group. You're very active in the Slack group. We get a lot of good conversations going in there, thanks to you.
Yeah, it is a fun place to be. It's the Pod to Pod Slack group. And to get that, just email Matthew and he will send you an invite for that. So aside from your pet peeves, what is the top advice that you can give to hobby podcasters?
I think it is going to be echoed and repeated, and you know, I'm going to sound like a parrot because it's very simple. Do it because you love it. I recently interviewed Mark Ramsey. He's a big media personality brand, you know, veteran of the industry, consults and guides lots of big names and stations. And he talked about this idea of vanity casting. These folks who just start a podcast because they said to themselves, "What should I start my podcast about?" Or like, "I want to do a podcast. What should I do it about?" That's the wrong question. If you're asking yourself, what should I do my podcast about? Stop what you're doing and turn around because you shouldn't do a podcast. If instead what you're saying is, I love X, and one way that I could probably share how I feel about X is through a podcast, great. We can't wait to have you in the podcasting world. So, you know, follow your passion. Don't just jump on here because, oh, look, podcasting, that's shiny and fun and it's worked for some people. I'll make it work for me. Not interested.
Okay, so then I got to ask you a question about that because there's a hot topic that you see a lot of people talk about right now, and it's the people who come to the podcast communities and they're like, hey, a few friends and I were sitting around and we were talking and we think, oh, people will probably love to hear us talk. So there's two sort of sides of that coin, because on the one hand, you know, it's sort of your typical way of people thinking, well, if we like to talk, everybody would like to hear us talk. And it's a little presumptuous. However, on the flip side, it's that passion that you just spoke about. So what's your thoughts on those sort of people?
I think if you really do have a lot of fun talking to your friends and think others would enjoy it, great. Go ahead and record it. And don't buy microphones. Don't, you know, hook up $1,000 worth of equipment. Grab your smartphone, put it in front of you, hit record, and try it. Because having a conversation without a mic and then turning one on, it changes everything, believe it or not. And there's a lot of people who for lack of a better term, they're just going to get camera shy. And the fact that that thing is on can absolutely change the dynamic. So record yourselves having this great conversation that you have and play it for somebody else. If it's a lot of inside jokes and, you know, you're a little bit stiffer and it doesn't flow the way you think it's going to, it's probably wasn't the right move. Just continue to enjoy your friends. Like, that's okay. Your friendship doesn't have to be broadcast around the world for your friendship to be legitimized. If, on the other hand, you guys do it and it is engaging and you can, you know, tell that somebody listening to it is like, I want to be in the room with them, go for it. Or again, if it's not a strain on your relationship to just record this conversation and have fun, do it. You're not going to necessarily become the next Opie and Anthony or Howard Stern show or anything like that, but do it and have some fun with it. Again, if you're not having fun, there's no point in being here. And if you're having fun and you've only got 5 listeners, okay, there's enough free resources for podcasting that you don't have to invest a dime to produce and publish a podcast. So if you don't want to spend the money on it and you can do it for free and you're having fun, go for it. Great. And if it grows into something else, even better, like awesome. Like, yeah, that's exactly, you know, what it should be doing, but it's not everybody's conversation is that interesting to the outside world. And there's a lot of people doing it. You know, there's a lot of people who put up a podcast and they're like, put me in the comedy section. Well, you're competing with some pretty funny professional comedians who've been doing this for a living and for years. And, you know, for them, it's part of their craft and they actually talk for a living. So, you know, if you're doing it to get famous, that's the wrong motivation. If you're doing it because you want to be the next Howard Stern, that's the wrong motivation. If you're doing it because you really just have a great conversation and as you talk, you sort of feel that people are flocking to that conversation and want to be a part of it, then yeah, give it a shot. Go for it. I'm not going to tell you no.
That's awesome. And I think your advice of recording it and seeing how it sounds is top-notch advice because a lot of times people don't do that and then they put it out there and then they start to get the negative feedback and they go, but this was funny. I was sitting with my friends. It sounded hilarious. So I like that idea because there is no investment and you're just pulling sample people to see what do they think about it. And it might even help you launch on a more positive note. So that's awesome. Now, of course, you mentioned you don't have to spend any money. Don't go out and buy all this stuff yet right away until you decide. What's your advice to hobbyists who do want to take things to the next level and they want to spend some money on, let's say, microphones? I know you've got some experience in this avenue and you've got some recommendations about how hobbyists can really improve their sound overall on a budget.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I typically, when I talk to clients, and that's who I am talking to a lot of the time, you know, they want to launch a podcast, but they're not ready to make that initial investment. I tell them, just get something basic, something more than talking into your smartphone that's sitting on a table, because that's not what it was meant for, or worse, talking into the speaker on your laptop. That drives me crazy. If you really want to sound like someone in their mom's basement, talk into your laptop speaker. But if this is enough of a hobby that you want to do this and you want to improve your sound, spend the $60 to $80, get yourself the ATR 2100. If you are podcasting with friends, especially if you're not going to be in the same location, everybody pick one up, talk over Skype. It's absolutely free other than that initial investment of the microphone. It's all you need. You get the microphone. It comes with its own stand. It's not a great stand, but it's free. It's available. Plug in a set of earbuds. You know, you've got one if you have a smartphone, or steal them the next time you're flying and they offer those to you for free. I don't actually condone theft, but, you know, that's a good one. and you know, don't get fancy. You know, don't worry about getting a set of, you know, $100 Sony cans. You don't need it. You're not focused on the intense audio quality. You're not an audiophile. Your audience is probably not audiophiles. Don't worry about it. Do it and have fun. As things progress, as you get better, as you decide it's worth making other investments, then you can grow. And the other thing is, and a lot of people, they don't think about this. If you start out the gate with the best equipment, the best quality, the best studio, you don't have anywhere to go.
That's true.
There's no room for improvement there. If you start with a cheap microphone and after a year you've gone from 5 people listening to 500 and your Patreon account, you've gotten enough support where it's like, hey, we like you. We're willing to give you a few bucks a month if that's what you've decided to do. And now you have money to go out and buy yourself a $600 microphone. You know what's going to happen? Your audience is going to be part of that evolution with you. They're going to grow with you and they're going to be like, you know, oh man, your show sounds so much better today. And I'm so happy that this product that I've grown to love because it's your passion product is only getting better and improving. And that's the same for all aspects of your show. The format, the production, the sound quality, your editing, your logo, there's always room for your audience to improve with you. I mean, go back and watch the pilot episode of any television show, your favorite television show. Go back and look at the first iteration of Facebook or Google or any website. Like, if you go back to day one of anything, it all looks like garbage. Absolutely does. But as it got better, there were some growing pains, but as it got better, the audience was like, cool, this is better. I like this. They didn't run away from it. I mean, yeah, there's always a few trolls and, you know, people are going to be like, oh, why is it the way I want it? But for the most part, people want to, if they like you, they want to see you grow. They want to be happy for you. They want to be proud of you. So start off sucking. It's okay. If you're doing it for yourself, who cares?
Yeah, no, I love that advice because it is. It's fun to look back as somebody who has evolved as a podcaster, both with technical skill as well as just delivery and, you know, podcast skill in general. I love going back and looking at the episodes that I hate because it's like, look at me back then. It was terrible, like terrible. You sound terrible. It's horrible. But I get to see the evolution. So that's a great way to look at it.
Oh, blooper reels? I mean, can you imagine going back and listening to your worst stuff or your best stuff? And also, I mean, I'm assuming the wall behind you, Steven, is like the evolution of some of the microphones that you've, you know, used. And like, it's all great material. It's all part of that trip. It's all part of the journey. So embrace it. Enjoy it. Love it. Like, you know, it's okay to suck. It really is.
And as the audience grows, they're your friends, as we pointed out before, because you've made the friends along the way and your friends will be rooting for you just to succeed more. So it's all good. It's all great. So along those lines, we have a common question that we ask our listeners. It is, what do you define as a hobby podcast? And as we close out this interview today, I'm going to ask you, Matthew, to define what you think a hobby podcast is. Or a hobby podcaster is.
I think I might have said this before, but I'm going to repeat it again. It's anybody who's doing this for the pure passion of it, for the pure fun of it. If you turn on the mic because you cannot wait to talk about a subject, to, you know, interview somebody about a topic, to share what you have learned about something, that's a hobby podcast. And if you happen to get to a point where you're getting paid for it, great. I mean, there's lots and lots of people who played baseball as a hobby as a child, and now they're in the majors. That doesn't change the fact that it's still a hobby to them. It's still, you know, a passion of theirs. And I think that's okay. It's okay to not become a major league baseball player, and it's okay to not become a podcaster with a million listeners and huge advertising revenue if you still decide to just open up the mic and talk about something that you love and that you are naturally curious about. I think one of the terms I used in an interview was like, the best podcasters, hobby podcasters or not, they geek out over whatever it is they're talking about. If you're not willing to say, I geek out, I'm a fan, I'm a nerd, you know, I'm just passionate about what I'm doing here, then you shouldn't be doing it. But if that's what you're doing, then yeah, you're absolutely, I think everybody should be a hobby podcaster.
Well, thank you very much for that. It's a good answer and one that definitely encourages people to have fun with their shows and reminds people to have fun with your show. We always talk about that on here. So thank you for reiterating that. Before we do wrap up with you, we'll just let you take a moment here to plug, promote, whatever you would like. Where can people find you? Any hit projects that you want to really extra highlight right now, Matthew?
I could go through the full laundry list of them, but truth be told, it's pod2pod, podtopod.com. It's the podcast consultant where you can find my new project, the Podcast Bulletin. And I'm really, really close to 2,000 followers on Twitter, if that's still important to anybody. Everything else for me is just at Matthew Passy. MatthewPassy, just one T in Matthew. Everybody gets it wrong, but that's how it is.
Well, thank you so much for coming on here and sharing your advice. You've got a long history of it, and I hope that our hobbyist podcasters really took away a lot today. So thank you.
Thank you. It was, without a doubt, a ton of fun, and that's what it should be.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again sometime when you launch the next project.
You got it, guys.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to our Better Podcasting Download.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
This week in the Better Podcasting Download, I have no idea how he always finds this stuff, but Stargate Pioneer found some industry news, and he sent it to me, and we were like, hey, this has got to be in the download. Well, actually, he came to me and he's like, let's make this the download. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll do whatever you want. I understand you're the king, Stargate Pioneer. This is Better Podcasting starring Stargate Pioneer.
the genuine Stargate pioneer. And I believe what I said was, boom, this is the download. So how I find this stuff, honestly, a lot of it is from pod to pod. A lot of it is from Google searches and hits that I have already set up. So it's fun when this stuff comes in. And this is actually a repeat, update from something that we reported last year. If you remember, we reported that, or discussed, we didn't really report, we discussed that DRM Interactive and Texas A&M were getting together to do an interactive project at Texas A&M with a lot of the students there, the graduate students, as well as the company. And I thought this was great because this was a case of industry academia cooperation. And they found out some interesting stuff. But along the way, they had some interesting advice to tell. And in this story that came out in allaccess.com on March 29th, titled New DRM Texas A&M Download on Podcasting Report Offers Pro Advice to Podcaster Newcomers. So I'm like, ooh, pro advice. This will be interesting. Well, Texas A&M, for their part, one of their researchers, Bob Upchurch, said, quote, while anyone with a microphone, a computer, and an opinion can create a podcast, the planning and strategy involved consistently proves to be a far greater predictor of ongoing success. So this gets into a couple of things that we just talked about with Matthew Passy about, as well as in our first six episodes. Matter of fact, our first episode was like planning. You got to plan out this stuff, people, because planning leads to success later on. I just thought that was great that Rob Upchurch said that. Now, for DRM Interactive's standpoint, Stephen, they had something to say as well.
Yeah, DMR Interactive's president slash COO Andrew Curran added the following. Although the barriers to entry are low, podcasting isn't the Wild West anymore. While the possibility for someone to randomly create a viral hit exists, that's not a predictable or sustainable business model. So obviously that's talking business again, but again, important note there, I think, with the first part of that.
Right. In the business model, I think you're talking about sustainment for download numbers and audience. Like Matthew Passy was just saying, you could get a million hits on a download on a podcast and you could still have it being hobby. But at that point in time, I think the podcast strategy would, in these terms, be business strategy. So we're not talking about making money out of the podcast. We're still talking about hobby podcasting. But the business model, I would say, it was hobby model here. And yeah, it isn't the Wild West before. We've talked about it before, but it's interesting to see this sort of stuff coming from both academia and industry in collaboration. Yes.
Yeah, I love this. I think it's great. And if people want to check that out there, just go to our latest episode at betterpodcasting.com and you can find the link in there. But it's just, I love it because it's good, solid advice that really does tell the state of podcasting. And this is not just guy B and guy C. Like, this is very reputable organization.
Why am I guy C? I want to be guy A. I'm the star of Better Podcasting, Stephen.
I never said us. I wasn't referring to us. I was referring to
you,
other people.
When you said guy C, you motioned over to me in the window.
It's for you to assume and for me not to have recording of when I flip myself in post-production.
Yeah, good luck with flipping the Better Podcasting logo on your mic flag.
Oh, well, thanks so much for bringing this up this week, SP. I know that you did all the hard research, as always, and you ended up locating this, and you actually wrote them, and you conducted the interview all yourself.
No, that would be allaccess.com.
Okay. Yes, no, thank you to allaccess.com. But let's go ahead and find out what you had to say about your podcast and our podcast this week. Man, was it a very interesting week with our Better Pod back. We had a variety of different people chime in, and we had some on our website, gunnageek.com. We had some on Twitter, and we just had some that found us elsewise. And let's start off with what we had this week on gunnageek.com. And we had the Dave Jackson say the following. What? No love for the SOP? Is that soap? Is that what that is? Or is that sop? Like sop?
Stan, Standard operating procedure.
No.
There you go.
No, what this is. If you're at all part of the podcast community, you've actually probably heard about this before, but maybe not. It's the School of Podcasting. Dave Jackson is a podcaster who's been around in the industry since, I'll steal his own quote, since back in the day. So that's Dave Jackson. He's been around for a while, and he does have a consulting business and some other information. And last week, when we were talking about places that you can discuss podcasting, we talked briefly about some different locations, and we tried to stay away from specifics too much, just give a couple examples and move on. But of course, since Dave, you were kind enough to come to our site and reach out, of course, we'll give you a hearty plug. We'll just give you a bell with that too. So thank you very much, Dave, for reaching out. And yeah, that's the School of Podcasting. It is a consulting business, but when you get in there and you get into the School of Podcasting, there's some closed groups as well. So we're talking about that, and you can get some information there. I know, SP, you have some history with them.
Yeah, I did. I was a member of the School of Podcasting for a while. It's a great community. It's schoolofpodcasting.com, and there is a closed secret Facebook group where once you join the community, Dave will allow you into some great stuff going on in there, and a lot of people just willing to help out as well in addition to Dave. So I would encourage you to go check that out if you are in search of a podcast consultant.
Also on GunnaGeek.com, we had Josh Liston. We've talked about him a couple times before. He said the following. He said, love the sound of the show with the Procasters. More natural sounding on both voices. Less bomb and sizzle. They sound like they could have used a tad more gain on the front end, though, to really bring out the character of the Rode. Probably not as useful a mic for live streaming, where a little bomb and sizzle helps to cut through the mix with the radio type tone, but on demand, I prefer the sound of this week's episode over previous episodes. Keep all the good stuff coming. Thank you very much for that, Josh. We appreciate that. And again, just to reiterate from the top of the show, things were a little different in post-production. I don't EQ, SP, or I. We only do stuff on our DBXs, but the compression, as we've proven with our various mic tests before, the compression can make the difference with the sound. So this week is an apples to apples comparison.
Well, now, Steven, let's do a little bit of thought process here, okay. A little bit of investigation. Rode is an Australian company.
Right.
Josh lives in Australia.
So what you're saying is that he owns the company Rode.
I think he's trying to do a little bit of advertisement for the Rode Procaster that it's better than the BP40 and the RE320 in order to bring more jobs to Australia. Make Australia great again.
Well, I gotta say, like, I talked about this last week. When I first heard the Rode Procaster, it had a sound that I just loved. And hearing last week's episode back, that sound was there. That quality that I can't describe was there. So, I gotta give Rode the tip of my hat. Will I continue using it? Maybe I'll go back to the BP40. Who knows? We'll find out. But I think I might actually use it for a few more weeks. We'll see. We'll see what happens after this week. We also got an email from Johnny Pennington, our previously aforementioned astute viewer. That's right. Johnny does check out the video side of things, which you can find at GunnaGeek.com or at YouTube.com/GunnaGeek. SP, you do the emails with far better delivery than I do. What did Johnny have to say?
Here we go. Johnny Pennington said, I noticed right away, as I'm sure others had, that Steven was not wearing his homage to Princess Leia. Large over-the-ear hair muffin-style headphones, but some Bluetooth earbuds. I didn't write in because I figured many others would, or at least Steven would mention, how he liked them and tell of the brand. But after 3 weeks with no mention of them, I thought now is the time to ask. I especially would like to know because Steven runs the production side of Better Podcasting, and I know that if he likes them, they are probably really good. One last question. I didn't set a time zone. I'm in the central in the podcast form, and my one entry said 10:07 a.m., but it really was 5:07 a.m. Couldn't sleep. How do I change it in my membership file to the correct time, or can one do that? Keep up the great work, Hobby, and thanks again, guys. Johnny Pennington.
Thanks so much, Johnny. Again, you noticed a change. I think you've noticed, what have you noticed? You've noticed a microphone change. You've noticed a microphone change on my backdrop. And you've now noticed the earphone, headphone, earbud, IEM change that I'm talking about. Yes, if you watch the video side of things, the last few weeks, I have been using a pair of in-ear monitors. They are the Shure SE215 in-ear monitors. Now, we talked a long time ago about in-ear monitors, and there are some pros and some cons. Here's the thing with the pro side of things. The reason why I was wanting to do this was from a visual perspective on video. I do two podcasts, this one and one other. They are both video shows. So obviously I'm going to think a little bit about visual. However, I am the producer of both. I run both live streams. So there is a very, very important factor that has made me hesitate before going this route. And it is being able to hear the subtle nuances. I need to be able to hear if somebody's got a line noise, if there's hiss, if my kids are yelling, like I got to hear all of this stuff. And so that's very concerning to me to drop what is a fantastic pair of studio monitoring headphones that have proven time and time again that I hear everything and that they block out the noise that you know, might interfere, and switch over to a pair of in-ear monitors, which honestly are probably not going to, unless you spend thousands of dollars, give that same clarity and detail. So skip ahead to my birthday, and somebody was nice enough. My mom was actually very nice enough to support my habit. And aww. I know it was actually a birthday gift for the Shure SE215s. She obviously knew I'd been looking at them for a while. And what's really, really one of the big things that I made me decide that this is what I like was eyeballing was that they had apparently very good noise isolation as well as good clarity. So I have been using them, and would I recommend them to you as a podcaster? No. And I'll tell you the reason why I wouldn't recommend them to you as a podcaster is because as a podcaster, you need to hear those details. Would I recommend them to you as a video podcaster who is going to use them in conjunction with a good pair of headphones? Absolutely, I would. I have been very impressed with them. And from the moment I put them on, I heard line noise and hiss and things like that, that I was pretty sure I wasn't going to hear. But I am impressed. Very, very good clarity and details. Not as much, though, as my headphones. So for editing, I do not use them. I use them only for the visual purposes of broadcasting and recording the video show. And then as soon as I edit, pull out my Shure SRH440 headphones, and that's what I do edit with. So they are a great addition to my setup, and we talked earlier about evolution. It's going to be fun to look back in a few years if I'm still using them and be like, oh, like Steven was using headphones back then. You know, it's the next step in my evolution, but they've been pretty good. You can absolutely spend a lot more money on them, but this was sort of next tier up, not bottom tier, and I've been quite happy with them. With the footnote that I am still having troubles figuring out which tip to use. It's nice thing about these in-ear monitors is they come with a bunch of different types of tips, some foam, some made of other stuff. And I'm trying to find the right fit because everyone affects the sound a little bit. And if you have them that are too tight, they'd be great for stage where you need to block everything out. And if you're singing or something like that, be great because you'd hear yourself. But with myself, I want to hear what I'm saying through my headphones, not through my jaw. So that's a very important that I don't hear a lot of Steven reverb, so to speak. So I'm very, very happy still trying to dial them in. And I quite like them. They are wired and they are not Bluetooth, though.
You mean to tell me that you don't need to hear more Steven in your podcast?
From a monitoring perspective, I'm just going to ignore your joke. What is important is I want to hear how do I actually sound, not how do I sound. You know, if you've ever talked, you plugged your ears and talked. If you have earphones or earbuds that are creating that seal, that's what you're doing. So it's affecting what you're hearing. So I'm very, very close, but I've been liking them and they've been quite comfortable. So I got to say the Shure SE215s, quite like them. The second part of your email, Johnny, about the forum. Thank you for doing this. Yeah, go to thepodcastforum.com. Go take a look there because there's actually now a thread. I created a thread talking about how to change your time settings. And there was actually an error as well with the way the board was configured. So I actually fixed that and corrected that. It's now set to Eastern time, but you can go and set your local time zone as well. And there's a little how-to document there, how to do that through your user profile. Thanks again, Johnny.
Yeah, thank you very much, Johnny, for noticing what Steven has changed in his studio. And thank you very much for signing up for the podcast forum.
All right. So what do we have for our Twitter feedback now?
Well, we have a tweet from @DearJobDoctor, and she says, listen to your show recently. Love it. Can you review @BlueJeansNet on your show? I want to launch a Facebook live show with a guest. And we haven't had a chance to do anything with that in the last week, but it is on both of our radars. So stay tuned. We'll get into that as soon as we can.
And we also asked the question, what do you consider to be necessary elements for a successful podcast? And we had SP's Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. co-host, Lauren, say ritual sacrifices, chanting, and 3 meals a day. Need to keep healthy.
That's very important. Need to keep healthy. You have to keep that voice. If you're going to podcast regularly, you have to take care of your voice. So staying healthy is a big part of that.
And the ritual sacrifices. She also actually followed up with a little bit more detailed answer, saying also a willingness to adapt and learn as well as consistency. So very good. Good feedback, Lauren. And yeah, the consistency is a pretty important thing.
It is. And just to go back to the ritual sacrifices, Stephen, would a bucket of chicken do? It's a movie quote, by the way. Yeah. And we geek out. We love movie quotes. So if you can tell me where that quote is, I believe the exact quote is, would a bucket of KFC do? If you could tell me where that is from, I will give you an applause next week.
There you go. We also had Josh Liston say, why is this even a question? Obviously, it's the email list. Well,
of course.
Well, that's what the experts say. And then he gives the green gonna puke face emoticon with the teary eyes that are, I believe, supposed to be laughing with tears. So very funny. I like that because you hear that so much. It's always the email list.
Yeah, the money's in the email list. Yeah, you hear that over and over and over again, and that's why we don't talk about it on Better Podcasting.
Cybercast Podcast also said, show passion and interest in the topic you are discussing. Respond to feedback.
SP. That gets to things that Matthew was talking about, which was showing the passion in your show and then making friends one friend at a time. Yep, respond to that feedback. And finally, we had Allison Ines tweet us, and she said, Humanities Podcasters Facebook group welcomes indie humanities podcasters, #HumanitiesPodcasts. And what she's talking about is just another place to go to discuss podcasting. So this is a Facebook group called Indie Humanities Podcasters.
Well, thank you, everybody who did respond. And if you want to respond to some of our questions, we encourage you to follow us on Twitter because that's where we do it. It's actually a little bit better forum for it. A better outlet for it is on Twitter just because on Facebook, it just doesn't show up all the time. And it seems like we get much more response on Twitter. So check us out at twitter.com/betterpod. But that is the end of a very filled episode of Better Podcasting. Before we wrap up, I just want to take a moment here to say thank you very much again to Matthew for coming on today. It was a fun interview. We hope you enjoyed coming on as well. We know that our audience is going to love everything that you talked about. So thank you so much.
Yeah. And if there's ever an opportunity for you to have Matthew on your show, I'm sure he would love to hear from you. In the meantime, you can always check him out at podtopod.com.
And the last note I will leave for you is the following question. What did you think of the Rode Procaster, the Australian Rode Procaster, compared to our previous used microphones, the Audio-Technica BP40 and the Electrovoice RE320? Get in touch with us anywhere you'd like. As you can see from our Better Pod back, we'll find it. So that is indeed the end of episode 73 of Better Podcasting. I'm Stephen John Drew. I'm not saying I sang on Gunna Gleek this week, but I'm not saying that I sang on Gunna Gleek this week.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer saying, have a fun time podcasting. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Toodles.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.